There's a I don't know, the lawsuits down the road, I think, are going to be interesting. And if you're interested in like legal sports card stuff, Paul Lesko is like one. It's probably, he's probably the top Twitter account when it comes to just like stuff on Twitter. Like when it comes to legal information. Let's see. So I'm going to retweet this as well. Talking about this now on the live stream. Now, let's see. I should probably tweet the stream too. Just probably keep the format at least for now. I mean, it's not like it's really affecting the viewers at all. No one's really coming over from these tweets. Maybe I should. I wonder if there's a way to. Let's see. I wonder if there's a way to. I wonder if I can live add the bookmarks. Let's just see if we can do that really quick. Let's see. Let's go to, before we get into this topic, I just want to try something. YouTube. I go to the YouTube studio. We're going to go to content. Live. We're going to go into details. No, not details. We want to go actually into the live studio. Control room, yep. So does it say how long the stream has been going? So 136:30. Let's try that. So let's go to back to YouTube. Go to content. This is it. See, this is, I don't know, good for everybody. Learn. I'm going to YouTube Studio. 136:30. We're going to add a bookmark. We're going to edit 136:30. Test. And then we're going to save. And then we're going to go back here to YouTube and open up the live stream. Oh, so it doesn't work until I think after the fact. All right, that's fine. Okay, whatever. Did I tweet it? No, but here we go. Okay. So, yeah, okay. So here we go. The lawsuit. Unfortunately, it looks like, so pretty much started, I'll start from the top here. So it's Alt versus Beckett. It's what essentially happened was, and this is why I'm kind of focusing on this tweet here, is because, so Alt, I think they bought a BGS Steph Curry rookie. But it was a card that was trimmed, and PSA later determined that the card was trimmed. But the card was bought in a BGS holder by Alt, and then they tried to cross it over. Okay, yeah, so here it is. So Alt alleges it is reasonably relied on Beckett's representation that the card had been unaltered when it was purchased for $168,000 in October 2020, which then the card, I think that they tried to, at least from what I'm seeing, it looks like they tried to, oh, did I not scroll up here? Yeah, whatever. It's all right. They tried to then get the card graded by PSA, and PSA said the card was trimmed. Obviously, that's not good. I think some of these lawsuits are going to be interesting down the road when it comes to, I'll do it this way. Let's see if I can. I think some of these other lawsuits, like maybe not this one for sure, but like there's going to be other ones that I think will be interesting when it comes to what happens to companies down the road and what happens with other lawsuits. Like these types of lawsuits are going to be used when it comes to, what's the word I'm looking for? Precedents. Like this one specifically, I think is going to be very interesting because like down the road, I think what will happen here is that it's going to affect card grading services and they're going to have to downgrade staff potentially in order to train them better, or they're just going to, train them better from the beginning. Like, I don't know exactly what the business will end up doing, but it's like with this, So essentially what I think will happen here is that this could set the precedent that if someone buys a card in a graded card, this will essentially guarantee, I think, that the card is real, that the card is real. Because if another grading service tries to grade it and they show that it's trimmed, that whatever the damages end up being for this, if Alt wins this lawsuit, I think unfortunately it's going to lead to, maybe not unfortunately, but it's going to lead to more careful grading. And I think what it may end up leading to is buybacks or regrading of a lot of cards from PSA, from Beckett, there's no real reason why someone would want to do this, but like if you buy a card and the next thing you know, you want to get it regraded, but you have a feeling like it could be a fake card and not real. Like, I guess it'll be interesting to see who ends up being liable for the mistake or whatever, because like if the person that sold the card going to be liable, or is it going to be the grading card company that's liable, or is no one going to be liable? Like that could be the other scenario here. Like, because if you are a card trimmer, like we've obviously had these issues in the past where people trim cards. There's been big issues with it in the past in the hobby. If you are doing that and you get cards graded and they go through, like, is it, like, where does the liability come in from someone buying that card? And like, where does almost like the moral compass come in too? That's kind of my other thing. It's like, if you're trying to make money, like just, there's got, like, it's kind of similar to, I don't remember. I was talking about it earlier. When there is an opportunity to make money, people are going to come in and are going to try and scam people to get that money or to get more of that money. Unfortunately, that's just the scenario that we may be running into in some cases. It's the same with like fake sneakers. It's like sometimes these fake sneakers are so good that you can't even tell that they're fake. Like you could, like we've had issues with like, I know StockX, GOAT have had issues where they get shoes and they get sent and they get authenticated and then they get sold and then they turn out to be fake. Like and there's a bunch of things that like, I think that the authentication and grading companies have kind of got away with like being like, they kind of have got away with sort of not being liable, like for this type of scenario. Like they've kind of got away with like it. And I think in some of these tweets, I think Paul kind of talks about like Paul, I think Paul kind of talks about like the back end side of these grading things, these grading services have always been kind of a secret. Like there hasn't been like a deep dive into like how a card grader grades something or like how a card itself gets graded. Like who, like, and it's all, and it could even lead to like more computer grading. Like that's sort of where I think that this is going to lead to, because the computer in which then it might even, I don't know. It's all very like, this is all very speculative, but it's like, to me, it just makes sense that that a computer may come in here and be able to, well, first of all, they'll be able to grade cards probably faster than a human would. They probably will be more accurate, unfortunately. They probably will be able to, you know, a computer scanning a card and they're going to be able to notice every single flaw where somebody grading may not notice a scratch or a bump on the card. And I know that a lot of people will say, like, when it comes to grading, I get that there are standards. I get that these companies only hire people that are going to do the job correctly, but like it's, and I think I've had the conversation with a couple of people on Twitter before that like people just, they see things differently. So like you could get a card graded 10 different times and it could get a bunch. No company will ever do this. No company would ever do this. But like if you took the same card and you took a black label BGS 10, whatever, and you gave it to 10 different graders, I guarantee that not every single one of those graders is going to give it a 10. It's going to be subjective. And I know that people will say, well, it's not subjective, but it's like, but there's, it just is. It just, it, because people are doing it, it's subjective. You know, who knows? Like somebody may, you know, somebody coming into PSA that day, there was a crash on the highway or something and they had to sit in more traffic and now they're late and they couldn't get their coffee or they dropped their coffee or something along those lines. And then they get these cards and they just randomly that day, they just all get nines. Like, or, you know, somebody got a promotion or somebody got a raise. And then later that day, all the cards that they grade are tens. Like those are realistic scenarios that I almost 100% guarantee have happened. So I just think that this could lead to more computerized grading from whether it's PSA, whether it's Beckett. But also like, where does the liability fall? Like, I think in my opinion, it falls on the grading company because the grading company should be able to tell if a card is fake. That is their responsibility to the hobby, is to be able to tell if a card is trimmed or a card is fake or an autograph is fake or something along those lines is not right with the card. Like that is what they make all their money doing. Like I understand that they want to treat all the cards the same as well. But it's like, if you look at a card like this, and you know it's going to be $168,000. Like, I just think that this is the scenario where like more expensive cards have more experienced graders grading them. But also at the same time, maybe they don't want people to know what the value is of the cards that they're grading, or they don't necessarily want different levels of graders because they know that like the person grading, whatever, the random base cards, they're probably looking at it saying, well, they don't think I'm very good at grading. So like, why should I take this so seriously when, you know, Joe, whoever is grading these like $100,000 cards, like he gets all these $100,000 cards and he only has to grade whatever. And I have to sit here and grade these whatever $20, $30 cards and I have to grade 100 of them. So like, why would I take it more seriously? It's like, I don't know. We don't know what the process is for these cards. We don't know what the grading process is. So overall, in my opinion, like, I think that it's going, I don't know. These lawsuits that we're seeing that like Paul is tweeting about, like, these are going to be the precedents that I think going forward, more regulations potentially may come into the industry. Like, I think breaking, like, TikTok, like I said in the previous segment, just banned breaking on the platform. But I think breaking is one that could use a little bit more regulation. Like, it is really like the wild, wild west. Like, you know, we, and I mean, there is regulation, but at the same time, it's like there are stories every single day of, like, this person, you know, putting a card under the table to take it, or somebody not getting their expensive card, or, like, somebody getting scammed. It's like there has to be some sort of lawsuit or some sort of repercussions for stuff like that, because, like, I think in some of these scenarios, it's just like, oh, sorry. Like, that's kind of it is what it is. Like, that's sort of the scenario that a lot of these people are, when these things happen, that's just how it's viewed, unfortunately, in some of these scenarios. Like, I don't know. I think there should be more of a thought process, or not more of a thought process. There needs to be more repercussions for, you know, stuff like that, stuff like this. I think, for mistakes, and I understand that sometimes it could be a mistake. Like, this is, I don't necessarily think that this was somebody on purpose graded this and didn't know. Like, because also at the same time, like, if it's trimmed, like, I don't know, like, it could just be trimmed, like, perfectly. Like, it's Beckett and PSA and grading card companies' jobs to be able to tell. So, I mean, I guess it's like, and especially because, like, this card now, it's like, should whoever sold the card, like, where does the money come from? Because, like, the person that sold the card to Alt, they get to keep the money most likely, but, like, who's going to give the money back? So it's like, it's almost like a, I don't know, catch-22. Maybe that's how I'm going to put it. Like, it's like, who's the one that needs to pay who, you know? Cause it's like the seller, they're not the one that's going to be giving the money back. Like, and I don't even really necessarily think that they probably shouldn't have to, like, unless they're the person that submitted the card. Like, that's sort of where kind of the line needs to come in, like, more of a little bit more of an investigation of, like, did this person submit the card? Who did this person buy the card from? Like, I think it's another kind of whole web of, like, It's a whole web of, like, trying to figure out how some of these cards are sold. Like, who trimmed the card? Like, that's sort of, maybe that's the person that should be liable. Like, maybe it won't be Beckett. It'll be the person that trimmed the card. I don't know, because I don't know who's liable, I guess, is maybe the scenario. Like, I think it's Beckett, but it's like somebody, you know, it could have just been a mistake. You know, somebody trimmed the card. So it's like, it's the person who trimmed the card's fault ultimately, but it's like, then there's no way to necessarily get back to that person, because it's like, who did Alt buy the card from? Who submitted the card? Who did the person that submitted the card buy the card from? Did they pull it out of a pack, or did they buy it from eBay, or did they buy it from somebody else? Like, or did they buy it from a show? Like, did that person then buy it? So it's a whole web of, you know, cards. And I think I know people don't like talking about NFTs and blockchain, but I almost think it's a way where there needs to be a little bit more of, like, a backlog almost on, like, some of these card sales. Like, in my opinion, I think that there has to be eventually, or maybe not, I don't know. It really is, like, it's all speculative, and I think that this would be good for the industry, but it's like, who's going to do it? Who's going to do the time to do it? It's like, when one of these RPAs sells through Panini or opens in a box or whatever, or it's like it has a QR code or whatever, I feel like there should be, like, Panini or whoever's making the high-end card should almost have the obligation to track where this card is going. Like, if it's a one-of-one super factor, you know, whatever, if it's the one-of-one super factor auto Jackson Holiday, like, sure, Topps, maybe they don't care. Once it's put in the pack, that card is just, it's out of their hands what happens to that card. But I almost think like there should be some sort of system where if somebody wants to see who owned this card, it should be more clear who is the owner of a card. If I guess, I don't know. It's kind of like, it's all speculation. It's stuff that I think the industry should do and that could make the industry better, but it's also like work that would have to be done on the back end. And it's work that the person selling a card would have to be. And it's like, then do you make people get like licenses for selling sports cards? Like, this is one of the other things. It's like, you're running a business. Most other businesses, you have to have some sort of license or you have to have some sort of agreement or something along those lines. But like with sports cards, there is nothing like that. With like, you know, if it's a sports book or something along those lines, like there is like a very, very strict policy and rules that the sports books have to follow with the gambling commission. So it's like, should there be like a sports card commission or something? Should there be, I don't know, should there be an entity that's able to make up rules and make up laws and that people that are buying and selling sports cards have to follow these rules? Like, should every time you buy a card, should you have to register that you bought the card? Because I think it should be probably that, like, I think that should maybe be a thing. And if you want to sell a card, then you have to, I don't know. Cause it's like, then who's to say if you're just doing a cash deal, that's kind of where it gets you. But if you're buying and selling a card online, that's where I think that there needs to be a, some sort of backlog when it comes to who the previous owner was. When did it sell? Who, where, like, did it sell at a card show? Maybe that's not the best example. Did it sell previously on eBay and now it's selling on Alt, and then, or did it sell on ComC and now it's selling on eBay or whatever? I think when it comes to online card selling, that's sort of where there should be maybe some more back end info on sales. And I think that in this type of scenario would maybe, I think it would help the industry, because then you wouldn't run into issues like this, because you know, if this card hypothetically went through a bunch of different channels when it got sold, you know, who knows? Because then it also maybe even makes it so, like, because you could make it so that way, like, you could make it a card show thing where, like, you have to register the card with the PSA. If it's a graded card, you have to register the PSA certification number. And it's another thing, like, every card has a PSA certification number. So it shouldn't be difficult for someone or PSA or something to build a platform that can track all the sales of these certification numbers. So it's like, if you're a buyer or if you're a seller, like, you should be able to look at the certification number. And if the person who bought the card previously, like, maybe that's something where, like, you then don't want to do business with that person because they're not willing to be more transparent on their buying and selling. So maybe you don't buy and sell from that person. I don't know. It's like I said, it's maybe more of like a blockchain thing. It's maybe more of an NFT thing where I'm coming from with that scenario. But like, I think it would help in the future be more transparent going forward, I guess. Almost at 2 hours. Wow. I think that's where I'm going to wrap it up there. I got to pretty much everything. There was one other thing, but it wasn't card related, so it's all right. Got to some pretty good topics. Full screen it. That's all we got. Thank you for everybody in the chat, everybody who watched. If you're watching this after the fact, you know, if you're 2 hours in, I commend you. If you want to like the stream, if you want to follow on YouTube, I'd appreciate that. Thank you, everybody. I'll see you in the next one.